I'm going to do a little bit of review of last week, and then I'm going to share what the Lord has for us to continue to posture ourselves to step into what he's doing. So I read the prophetic word that was given to us several weeks ago by Pastor Deborah Merritt. She said, the opportunity for wiggle room in believers is narrowing out. Walk closer to God like never before. She said, the mixture of worldly wisdom is manifesting in a spirit of deception, and many are being deceived. The truth is distorted, lies are magnified. The enemy is preying on the unlearned and the untaught, which is why in this environment I felt it necessary that I still teach. Because I don't want the enemy preying on any of us. Because the Bible says, My people are destroyed because of what? Lack of knowledge. And this is not the time to be unaware of spiritual reality. This is not, I told you, this going into, especially going into 2026, discernment is a necessity. Miracles are a necessity. And not miracles for you, miracles through you. Because your covenant with Jesus automatically entitles you to any divine intervention that needs to happen for you. You just place a demand on the covenant. There's this necessity to shift so that the harvest can come in. Because miracles, signs, and wonders are to bring in the harvest of souls. So then the rest of what she said that the grace of God, however, is being dispensed to live in God's commands. Greater grace to submit to the ways of God. She said there is a desire for kingdom living, kingdom lifestyle, and kingdom choices. Cry out for wisdom. And his glory will be manifested in our lives. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So in Romans chapter 8, I'm going to read to you Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to start at verse 14. I need to check something real quick, though. Thank you, Jesus. Man, when you stop playing, it's like I noticed it. I felt it. I didn't want it to be so super obvious and turn around and look, but I was like, All right, so Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 14, it says, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the what? Sons of God. Meaning a mark of maturity is being led by the Spirit of God. The immature are led by their emotions, their flesh, demonic influence, AI, and what other people say. It takes a mature person to discern the difference between their soul and what the Holy Spirit is saying. And the only way we can discern that is by spending time in his presence and his word. Because if you spend time in presence with expressions of worship, that will help you to recognize how God is moving. But without knowledge of the word, you won't be able to recognize what he's saying and doing when he's moving. And see, acknowledging presence and expressions of worship can give a false sense of maturity if you don't get in the word. Because you can think because you're so sensitive to the presence of God that you're at one place of maturity that you're not. But getting into the word so deep and heavy without engaging in and being sensitive to presence produces legalism. Where people are legalistic, judgmental, and religious. And want to script a move of God and script what the Holy Spirit is doing. One of the things we were saying this morning as we were driving in, when we were sharing what we sensed Holy Spirit was saying about today, we were like, okay, we're going to wait and look for the moment. We're not going to script it and say, oh, we could plug that in right here. Because what if you want to plug something in at a moment that God is doing something else? And so let me keep reading. It says, for you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs, heirs of God, and joint and fellow heirs with Christ. King James says joint heirs with Christ. Say, I'm a joint heir with Christ. Say, I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. So what are we an heir of? Let's look at Revelation chapter 5, verse 11. I'm going fast because this part is review. Revelation 5, verse 11. This is John in heaven having an encounter. It says, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Who's the Lamb that was slain? Jesus. When was he slain? Before the foundation of the world. He wasn't slain on the cross. He was slain before the foundation of the world, and the cross was the physical manifestation of what had happened in the realm of the spirit. You seeing it? So, and I told you last week that there are things that have already happened and occurred, and I stored up for you in the realm of the spirit that just need to break forth into time and space. We call those suddenly. Say suddenlies. And I want you to believe today to expect suddenlies everywhere you go. I want you to expect a suddenly in every area of your life. Somebody who hasn't talked to you in years, there should be a suddenly expectation of reconciliation. There should be a suddenly expectation of the manifestation of healing, of breakthrough. Because it's already done in the realm of the spirit, so all you have to do is allow the Lord to bring it into space and time and give him the substance that he gave you to do that with, which is faith. See, we don't even believe God in our own strength. God gave us the measure of faith, not a, but the measure of faith, and he gave it to us so that we could believe him and receive all he has for us. It is by his grace that we can receive. It is by his grace that we can apply our faith. So it says, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive. Jesus received something. And he didn't receive it from anybody but the Father. Because Jesus said, the Father is greater than I. So it's not blasphemy to recognize Jesus received something. But he only did it so that we could be joint heirs and receive with him. Because we're a joint heir with Christ. He received power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Last week, I encouraged you to look over those things. Because I talked about the wisdom and the glory, because that was the prophetic word that was released. And that thing has been sitting with me. And I've been hearing confirmations that God's been speaking that across the body of Christ. Somebody told me the other day when I was on a Zoom call with Bishop Garlington and Apostle Bill Themilaris and all of them and all of our apostles' friends. So I'm sitting there like the quiet dude in the room, listening. And they spoke that they were in the gathering and the Lord spoke to them about a disruptive glory being released. And I was like, wait a minute. God just spoke about the release of the mixture of wisdom and glory. This wisdom and glory is going to cause disruption. It's not only going to disrupt man's plans, it's going to disrupt the plans we think we have. That's why some of you are praying about your 2026 and you haven't heard nothing yet. For those of you who pray about your 2026, because I know some people wait, and they wait till January 1. I start praying in the 2026, November. And you haven't heard nothing? Maybe it's because God isn't giving you a plan because he's just going to interrupt them anyway. And maybe your 2026 has to be just follow him. And go to the place that he will show you. because you'll know it when you see it. So we talked about last week how this manifold wisdom was hidden in God for us, not from us. The wisdom of God was never hidden from you. It was hidden for you. It was hidden so you could have the access to it. It's not the wisdom of the world. It's his wisdom that is pure. And so I gave you last week four things to posture ourselves to receive, because some prophetic words require our cooperation. They require us to posture ourselves in a place where it can be a reality in our lives. Just like we've learned in this house to ask the Lord, what is required of me in light of what I now know? Remember the question that the Lord gave to me that I shared with you is, what is required of me in light of what you have spoken so that it could be a reality in my life? I don't want you to hear a prophetic word, rejoice, and not see the fruit of it. I want you to hear the word, rejoice, and then rejoice again because it manifested in your life. Say manifestation. And this is not the New Age manifestation. This is God revealing and manifesting. So I said last week that you wanted to seek him, listen to and for him, inclining your ear. The second thing was that we receive wisdom by faith. So we ask for it, like it says in James, and then we thank him for it. See, God is not the kind of God where you have to ask him the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, as if he didn't hear you. God hears you when you pray. He hears you when you talk. He hears your thoughts. He knows what you're going to think and say before you think and say it. And so once you've made that petition, because your verbal release of it now is the agreement and the act of faith that God uses to cause you to receive it. This is why we say some things are voice activated, because when you say thank you or when you make a petition, you are now aligning yourself with what God already has for you. And so after you've said, Father, I thank you for your wisdom, or Father, give me wisdom, now the posture is to thank him for it. Thank you that for your wisdom that you've given me. Thank you for the glory that has been released upon me. The third one was, we pray in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:2 talks about when we pray in the Spirit, we're speaking mysteries unto God. This is why the enemy fights people praying in the Spirit. Now, we know that there are some people who, as they're growing in God, may act some kind of way when they're praying in the Spirit, and maybe a little extra dramatic or even funny with it, but that doesn't negate the necessity. Because when we pray in the Spirit, we are speaking to God. We're building up our most holy faith. And the Bible says we're speaking mysteries. When you see mysteries in Scripture, it's talking about the wisdom of God, something that was hidden to be revealed. The wisdom of God was hidden to be revealed through you. Not just to you, but through you in this season. So we should be praying in the Spirit, which is why when we come into our worship gatherings, we're praying in the Spirit. Because we are not, this isn't a concert. We are all singing to the Lord. And that's the only reason why we put the words on the screen, so you can sing to the Lord with us. And the reason why we have people on the mics is so it can sound good when we sing to the Lord on the screen. Because some of us have a grace for a joyful noise and some of us don't. And if you're like me, depending on what key we're in, we may fluctuate between joyful noise and actually. Because I know when I'm in the wrong key, because Val's sitting back there like, mm-mm, mm-mm, mm-mm. Or Apostle be like. But we come and we direct everything towards God, because this is a worship gathering. And I believe in this time, this is part of the shift that's happening in the Western church. In the Western church, and I'm talking about Europe and the U.S., all of the Western nations, we have allowed the Greek approach of concert and lecture dissertation to influence the culture to the point where we think we come to church, sit down, hear a good song, shout, run around, and leave. And oh, that show was good. It touched our soul, but did it move anything in the realm of the spirit? That's why songs made by AI can touch the soul, but have no supernatural impact. And so, I'm going to give you three more things that the Lord told me that will help us posture ourselves to walk in this wisdom and this glory that has been released. Now, remember, the glory of God is part of it is the essence of who he is. It's not just his tangible presence, but it's his character. It's his power. It's the wealth that comes with him. It's everything he is. And you see an example of someone who had the mixture of wisdom and glory in Acts 6. In fact, let's go there first before I give you these three things. So in Acts chapter 6, and that's one of those chapters I was talking about last week, where it's like, God, have you reading it over and over and over and over? And you're like, what am I supposed to see in here? And then you just want somebody to preach on it so you can stop reading the same thing over and over. So in Acts 6, we see something happening. We see the church growing, meaning the ecclesia, the body of Christ growing, expanding. And it says, verse 1 says, now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews and the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So now we see this need. There was growth happening, and now there became a need because there was a group that was accidentally not being catered or ministered to. They were accidentally being overlooked. Things like that happen when you're growing. I'm glad the scripture doesn't say they got offended and busted up and left. They didn't start player hating on the apostles. They didn't start criticizing the apostles. But they made the need known. And it says, verse 2, so the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, it is not desirable for us to neglect the word in order to serve tables. Now look at this. They were not saying that serving was a lesser thing. They were saying that their assignment was not to leave the word to do that other thing. See, there are times, there are things that will come to your life this month and in 2026 that are super important, but you have to know what is your assignment. Because every need is not your assignment. Every good idea is not your assignment. Even if it's a God idea, it might not be the God idea for you to participate in. 2026 is a year of more intentionality and focus, which will come as we tap into the wisdom of God. And sometimes people might not understand what you're doing or why you didn't participate. Or they may say, well, you don't love people. You don't really love God. No, we have to be intentional with our yes and intentional with our no. Because no is a complete sentence and it is freeing. Because this is not the season to overextend. The wisdom of God will keep you from overextending yourself to the point where you can't even be filled up and receive from God because you're too busy trying to do the work of God. Because being too busy doing the work of God will cause you to do it in your own strength and own E. And then trying to build and advance the kingdom in your own strength won't work. It doesn't work. It brings frustration and agitation. So they said this in verse 3, select among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit, full of Holy Spirit, full of Holy Spirit. What were they saying? You need to be full of Holy Spirit. Not just with speaking in tongues, but you need to be full of his glory. Holy Spirit is the Spirit of glory. And it says, and wisdom that we can put in charge of this task as God uses you to bring kingdom solution. He is pulling people and placing people who are full of Holy Spirit, full of wisdom. Because the solution is supernatural. And you can't get a supernatural solution without being one with Holy Spirit. You can't get a supernatural solution by natural means. You can't help people experience a supernatural God in your flesh. So they chose Stephen, and it says, we would devote ourselves to prayer and ministry of the word. So they recognized their assignment. So the people chose Stephen and six other people. But notice in verse 5, it says, Stephen was a man full of faith and of Holy Spirit. Not only was he full of wisdom, not only did he have good reputation, not only was he full of Holy Spirit, he was also full of faith. Anything you do in this season, during this outpouring of wisdom and glory, we're going to need to exercise our faith. But notice the good reputation part is among the believers. Because sometimes your reputation might be tarnished among the people of the world, because that's what the enemy does to try to silence your voice. He'll try to discredit you with accusation, with gossip, with lies, so that when you speak, people won't believe it. But when you have good reputation among believers, walking in integrity, being a doer, not just a hearer, you don't have to be concerned about the lies and the accusations. So, skipping down, because we got to end. It says the word kept spreading because they brought them apostles. The apostles laid hands on them. It says the word of God kept spreading. Verse 8 says Stephen was full of grace. Wait a minute. Now we see he's full of grace. It says grace and power. Now remember, power is one of the things that's part of our inheritance that's along with wisdom and glory from Revelation 5. So we see Stephen receiving and operating in the inheritance. And then what happened? What was he doing? He was performing great wonders and signs among the people. I'm telling you, as this outpouring of glory is happening, as you are operating in wisdom, you need to be prepared for God to use you to operate in the signs and the wonders among the people. That's why I said God has invited us to shift. And operating in signs and wonders takes a sensitivity, a strong sensitivity to Holy Spirit. Because sometimes in our flesh we could get excited because of how God is moving. But we have to allow the wisdom of God to direct us so we continue to move with Him and we don't quench Him because of our excitement. Y'all following me? So let me give you these other things that the Lord said that will help us steward and help us receive what He's speaking. Number one. And I talked about, and this, some of these are similar to what I said last week. We have to be devoted to prayer. Not just corporate prayer. Not just prayer when we start our gatherings. Because, you know, here at Ayers, we don't do pre-service prayer. We used to. Then we realized prayer is an expression of worship. We're not praying about the service, we're praying in the gathering. Or not about the gathering, but we're praying in the gathering. So while some people, you know, start with singing, we start with prayer. And we go wherever he leads, we follow. Wasn't that a song that the experienced saints sing? Wherever he leads me, I will follow. I go with him all the way. So we have to be devoted to prayer. In Acts 1 and 14, the disciples were instructed to wait until they received Holy Spirit. While they were waiting on his entrance, they were praying. And in Joshua 3 and 5, before they were to take their land, the promises, Joshua told them to consecrate themselves because God would do wonders among them. So as we steward moves of God, we have to be devoted to prayer and separating ourselves. The second thing is we have to build and maintain expectation. That prayer will help us do that, but we have to consciously have an expectation of experiencing God, of hearing God, and of partnering with God. The Bible outlines that when we pray, we should believe we have already received it, then we will have it. Some people are believing and then waiting to have it without the already received part. The already received part is the part where we mentally shift and go from asking to knowing it's already ours, to thinking, acting, and talking like it's already ours, even if we don't see it in the natural. Because it exists in the realm of the spirit. Hebrews 11:1 in the Classic Amplified says faith is a title deed, meaning that it denotes ownership, is your certificate of owning the thing that you're believing for. You got to refuse to approach God casually. Because without expecting something, every time you encounter Jesus, you got to expect him to do something powerful in, for, and through you. Here's the next one: discern distractions. When activity in the spiritual realm happens from heaven, because the spiritual realm is just that, a spiritual realm. And in the realm of the spirit, there are only two domains, where there's one domain and one kingdom. Let me say it that way. There's the kingdom of God and the domain of darkness. So when activity happens in the realm of the spirit from heaven, the demonic begins to panic. That demonic panic and tantrums may take the form of distractions, attempts to bring frustration, or cause you to be too busy to be in the right posture to receive. You have to discern distractions. Which is why sometimes on Sunday mornings, I don't talk. I'm not trying to be rude, but I just don't talk. I'm locking in. And so during this time, we have to also be alert so we don't allow anything to move us from our spiritual posture of readiness and receiving. 1 Peter 5, 7 through 9, I'm going to read that really quick. It says, I'll read verse 6 for context. It said, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares. Be of sober spirit. Be on alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He's not a roaring lion. He tries to imitate one. And it says, but resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. So we have to be sober in this season. It's like football. When the wide receiver goes out to catch the ball, there's a position called the cornerback who's running with him, trying to get him out of the route he's supposed to run from the play that's been called by the quarterback or by the coach, to try to make him miss the ball. While you're running your route, running your race, walking the path that God has already ordered for you, because your steps are already ordered, the enemy tries to get you out of alignment, tries to bring distraction, tries to run interference. So you have to discern what's a distraction. And then the last one is we have to prepare and cultivate our hearts. The scripture identifies in Mark 4 the different types of hearers, of people who hear the word. We have to make sure our hearts remain good ground so that the word that is taught and the word that is spoken prophetically bears fruit. See, a lot of times when we heard that Mark 4 taught, it was always applied to the taught word. We got to be good hearers and be ready for the taught word. And then some people mistakenly thought that expressions of worship were just to prepare the environment for the word because of how they taught that. Expressions of worship do much more than prepare an environment for the word. Healing happens, deliverance happens, freedom happens. But our hearts have to be prepared for the word from God, whether it's taught or whether it's spoken prophetically or whether he just drops it in our spirit during our prayer time or even in gatherings like this. This is why you should always come ready to take notes on your device, or if you old school it with paper and pen or whatever, or some of you really old school it with pencil. I mean, I haven't seen a pencil in years. But if you do that, be ready to capture what Holy Spirit is saying and doing in the moment. Because you may hear something, you might all of a sudden just know something, you may smell something, you may feel something, you may see something in your spirit or even open eye vision, see something. All of those ways God communicates and you have to be ready to capture it. Because those are the moments where wisdom is being released. So we have to ask Holy Spirit to help us to ensure our hearts, which is the mind, will, the emotion, the soul realm, is ready to receive from him. And you have to be determined and take the position that you will not resist, reject, or reduce the word, but you will receive it. Because there are some words that don't feel good. You might be like, I don't like that one. Can I have a different one? It's almost like the game show, I'll spin again. But you got to be purpose. Everything God says is important, is valuable, and it's for my good. I'm not going to resist, reject, or reduce it. I'm going to receive, and I'm going to allow the wisdom of God to help me to walk in it. Because God is the one who brings it to pass anyway. It's not us. He brings his word to pass. We cooperate. And sometimes our cooperation involves an act of faith. Sometimes it involves praying. I was talking to my daughter the other day, and she was talking to me about a particular thing, and I told her, you know, you need to just pray in the spirit. And she said, but I feel like I'm not doing nothing. I was like, are you required to feel like you're doing something? Sometimes we may feel like we should be doing something, when what we should be doing is the thing that God told us to do, but sometimes it doesn't feel like enough. Amen. You receive that? Thank you, Lord.